Well, good morning. How is everybody today? Hanging in there. Kind of hanging in there. Everything's good. We're good. Everything's good. It does look a little different today. We are missing several. Got some sick, some traveling. But it's going to be good either way because God's here. I'll take this opportunity to say Happy New Year. That's going to play into the message a little bit. So part of you was probably expecting to find out what the word of the year was. It's not going to happen today. Suspense. Hopefully next week, Pastor Nathan will be back and he'll be able to give us the word and the vision of our church for the coming year. It's exciting. It is very exciting. But it's good to see what God's doing in the church in general, not just our church, in the church in general. So, like I said, be in prayer for the ones that's sick, the ones that's, there's all kinds of stuff going around. So, it's just that time of year. We're going to jump into the message this morning. It may be a short message, I'm not really sure. When I ran through it, it was about 40 minutes, and then the second time I ran through it, it was about 30 minutes, so it may be about 15 or 20 minutes today. But that's okay. We'll just get out early if it is. But I'm going to start just by reading out of Philippians chapter 3, the 10th through the 14th verse. The Bible says that I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, become like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold from me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The title of the message this morning is How to Have a Happy New Year. And kind of had to throw this message together fairly quick. I think I found out Friday afternoon that I would be preaching. So we got it together and God provided like he always does. So, but you know, I got to thinking about what I was going to speak on and the way God was leading. And basically, the words Happy New Year kept coming to mind. And you know, a lot of times, especially this time of year, we, everybody will have a Happy New Year or, you know, happy holidays. I mean, you know, you can look at all that. But when we tell everybody to have a Happy New Year, what are we really meaning? Sometimes I wonder if we seriously mean that or if it's just something we say. I went back to, you know, a lot of times I was guilty of this, and I've got a whole lot better, but I was guilty of, if somebody was going through something, well, I'm going to be praying for you. But did we really pray for them? And a whole lot the same way with the Happy New Year. What do we mean? Happiness is usually defined as to the situation that you're going through, or maybe our goals in life. In other words, happiness is different to different people. It may mean something different to me than it does you. Some examples that I came up with as to what happiness may mean is hearing that your dentist say that you have no cavities at this time. That would be a good happy time. Having someone else buy your meal at the restaurant or something. going in your child's room and finding it cleaned up and not having to tell them. Stepping on my own toes on this one. Hearing your husband say, "Can I help you with the dishes?" I hate doing dishes. I hate doing dishes. You know, and the list goes on and on. Losing the weight that you had wanted to lose or whatever. But happiness is such an elusive thing that sometimes it's hard to define. You know, it may be tied to a raise or bonuses or good grades or retirement or something new in your life or success or whatever. But, you know, I got to thinking about this, and as I was getting this message together, I was trying to think, what do I view happiness as? Ask yourself that sometime. That's a hard question to answer. What do I view happiness as? And the best I could come up with is it's a frame of mind. Happiness, like so many things that we go through, is a choice. It's a choice that we make. It's being able to cope with whatever's coming our way. It's living that life of victory and rejoicing in all things. If you want a biblical example of a truly happy man, look at the Apostle Paul. He was an amazing, God-controlled man. But this kind of person, just like all other champions or whatever, they're made, they're not born. Paul didn't become the man he was by accident. There's at least three words that we can characterize his life that made him the happy person that he is. But we're going to look at three of those that's going to give us what a happy new year is. Those three life-changing words can be found in the scripture that I read this morning. And those three, this is a spoiler alert, this is my 3 points, are purpose, attitude, and determination. I feel like that these three words is kind of what made Paul tick. That's kind of what made him the person that he is. So let's look at our first point this morning. Let's look at purpose. What is our purpose? Let's look at Paul's purpose. Let's look at what Paul went through. When he was, whether he was mending tents or writing a letter to the churches or preaching to a crowd, he was driven by one all-consuming purpose, and that was to know God. He was in season, he was out of season. Consciously and subconsciously, that was his desire, was to serve God and to know God. He pursued that dynamic purpose, and he possessed a deep desire to not merely know about Jesus, but to know him intimately. And that should be our desire. That should be our purpose, is to know Jesus intimately. Not just to say that we follow Jesus or that we're a Christian, but we need to have that intimate relationship with him. His purpose was much like that of King David, who prayed, as we can see in Psalm 42:1, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God." You know, maybe Paul's reason for such a driving purpose had to do with his conversion experience. Think about what Paul went through when he was converted. He went from being a persecutor of Christians to being a Christ follower. Disraeli, the former Prime Minister of Great Britain, said that the secret of success is consistency of purpose. Too often our purpose in life changes from day to day. Or maybe it changes from hour to hour. It could even change from minute to minute. But that's not so with Paul. He knew why he was doing what he was doing and what he was doing. It was to have that intimate relationship with Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Just sit home with me too. What is the all-consuming dynamic purpose in your life? Is it following God? Or is it something else? Our purpose should be to follow God and to do as God leads us to do. If we do that, everything else will fall in line the way it's supposed to. But you've got to put God first. God has to be first in your life. I was thinking back before I had accepted Christ as my Savior many years ago. And I didn't realize it then, but I really had no real purpose or direction in my life. Looking back, I can see that. But you know, when you're in those situations, you know, sometimes you may be like, oh, I'm fine. Everything's fine. Kind of like we are this morning. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything is good this morning. Because we're here and God's here. But really, looking back on your life, if you don't have that direction to follow God, then what do you have? If you don't have that desire to follow Him, then what really do we have? A lot of times we only have uncertainty and frustration. And looking back, there was a lot of that. There was not a whole lot of content in my life. But now, I look toward the mark. I look toward that cross. I look to Jesus. I'm human. I'm just like everybody else. I don't always do the things I'm supposed to do, but I try. My goal is to be like Jesus, but we're all human. You know, a lot of times our vision just kind of gets off kilter, I guess you could say. We start out good, but then something gets in the way, or our pride gets in the way. I'll tell you a little story about the Taj Mahal. It's one of the most beautiful and costly tombs ever built. But there is something fascinating about its beginnings. In 1629, when the favorite wife of Indian ruler, and I cannot pronounce his name, Jehan or something, when she died, he ordered that a magnificent tomb be built as a memorial to her. He placed her casket in the middle of a parcel of land and constructed the temple, literally beginning to build around her casket. But several years into the venture, his grief for his wife gave way to a passion for the project. And one day, while he was surveying the site, he reportedly stumbled over a wooden box, and he had some workers to throw it out. It was months before he realized that his wife's casket had been destroyed. The original purpose for the memorial became lost in the details of the construction. He became more focused on building something and lost the vision of what he had originally wanted that to be built for. You know, when you know what you're going, where you're going, and why. That we have a purpose. To have a purpose, to have a spiritual purpose in life, you're well on your way to experiencing a happy life. So purpose was my first point. The second point is going to be attitude. Our attitude. Our attitude determines actions. They conquer who believe they can. Just noticed a few of the powerful uplifting phrases that we've seen in the passages, and I actually didn't read verse 8, but going back to verse 8, Paul said that I may gain Christ. Verse 10, he said, I want to know Christ. In verse 12, he said, I press on. Verse 13, forgetting what is behind. Which one will you pick up? Which one of those two suitcases will you pick up? And this is a decision that can be made daily. But it kind of fits going into a new year. We all have new expectations, new visions. So which suitcase will you pick up? You going to pick up the positive one and walk out, or you going to pick up the negative one? It's our decision. That goes back to that free will. But I can tell you that the devil wants you to pick up the negative one. He don't want you to have a great year. He don't want you to have a great day. He don't want you to have a great second. He wants us to dress up in morning clothes and expect nothing but doom and gloom. Norman Vincent Peale told a story about a group of people who at the end of the year wrote down their expectations of the coming year. And each one had sealed their new year's expectations in an envelope to be opened and read aloud at the end of the following year. This was pretty interesting. One man had written that in the next year I can expect more of the old misery, some of the old same old, same old. And that's exactly what he got. A woman wrote down, listed 10 worthy goals that she expected to receive. None of those 10 came true. Another man, based on his expectations, he based his on his birth sign, which is Capricorn. And it predicted that he would have a difficult and frustrations throughout the year, and that's what he got. The last man, he died during that year. When they opened his envelope, his expectations read, as none of the men in my family have survived past beyond the age of 60, I expect to die this year. And he did. 1 month before his 60th birthday. But you may ask, how is it possible in a chaotic world like we're living in, the crazy things going on, everything that's going on in the world, the sin, the pain, the suffering that we see, how can we have that believing attitude? We have to look toward the cross. We have to look to Jesus. How can we be optimistic? Through Jesus Christ. Like I said earlier, I'm going to confess a little bit here. Sometimes I get overwhelmed by life in general. It happens. I think we all go through periods of time that we have to bring ourselves back into focus sometimes. But you know, we can't focus on the world today. We can't put all our attention into the world today. When I look up to Jesus, I find reasons for hope and optimism. And I hope you do too. Because sometimes that's the only hope we have. That's the only hope we have, is when we look to Christ. James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You know, this is a wonderful attitude to take into 2023. And I don't even think this is a word, but we're going to use it. Develop a good forgettery. In verse 13, Paul says that forgetting those things which are behind, our failures, our sins, our sorrows. It's a new year and it's a new day. You know, Paul would have been useless to God if he had carried all of his baggage with him. Think about that just a second. He would have been useless to God if he would have carried all of his baggage with him. So what happens when we carry ours with us? I'm guilty too. But when we carry that old stuff around with us, it has a way of just popping its head up. Hey, here I am. I'm still here. Remember that the chisel of the sculptor cuts, but it is to make the image more attractive. The fingers of the potter press in upon the clay, but only to make the vessel more beautiful. Sometimes we have to be molded and transformed into what we are. Sometimes God has to mold us a little bit. And sometimes he has to cut a little bit. And it hurts. It hurts a lot. But it's to make us more attractive to him. It's to make us into something that he can use. The Macy tribe is a nomadic tribe of Africans who live much like they have for centuries. When they moved their villages, they burned their huts because they did not believe in the past. They hate to be photographed because film makes a record of the past. You know, our past is what makes us the person we are now. And teetotally doing away with the past, I don't think is what Paul had in mind here. We have to be selective in what we forget. The past is important and instructive to us, but to live in the past would be a great mistake. And I was thinking about that just a little bit. Our past is what makes us. I mean, I've done said that. But if we teetotally forget the past, we're going to make the same mistakes that we've made in the past, because we don't remember. We try to put that stuff away, and then all of a sudden it pops right back up. It's good to forget, but you still have to remember a little bit. My last point in the message this morning is determination. We've seen attitude. We've seen purpose. But now we've got to have a little bit of determination. In the 14th verse of our scripture, Paul writes that, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwardly in Christ Jesus." Consider that phrase that I press. I think we can all agree that the Christian life is not a picnic. It's not a bad life. It's just not always the good stuff. Sometimes we have to go through some trials and some tribulations to become what God wants us to become. The Christian life requires discipline and determination. The words that I press are strenuous. I kind of pictured it this way, that of a runner that's straining every muscle, every fiber, every tissue in their body in their forward movement. When Napoleon became Emperor of France, he selected the bee as the emblem of the new France because it symbolizes work and industry. He wrote that, "I love work. Even when I sleep, I dream about work." I don't do that. I definitely don't do that. Paul's life was a torrent of spiritual desire. Single-mindedness is again expressed in the phrase, "but one thing I do," in verse 13. All of his God-given gifts were focused on this one purpose, that I may know him. You know, nothing is so powerful in life as single-mindedness. Jesus said in Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Happiness flows in large part to a sense of accomplishment. Whether as a parent, a worker, a student, an athlete, or whatever. Paul longed to hear his Savior say, "Good job, you've been faithful." And as I get ready to start winding down, I'll leave you with a little story. It's a story of two children. The parents of the first child were somewhat mismatched. His father was unemployed with no formal schooling. His mother was a teacher. The child was born in Michigan, was estimated to have an IQ of 81. He was withdrawn from school after 3 months and was considered backwards by school officials. The child enrolled in school 2 years late due to scarlet fever and respiratory infections, and he was going deaf. His emotional health was poor. He was stubborn and showed very little emotion. He liked mechanics. He also liked to play with fire and burn down his father's barn. He showed some manual dexterity but used very poor grammar. But he wanted to be a scientist or a railroad mechanic. The second child showed not much more promise either. This child was born to an alcoholic father. As a child, she was sickly, bedridden, and often hospitalized. She was considered erratic and withdrawn. She would bite her nails and had numerous phobias. She wore a back brace from a spinal defect and would constantly seek attention. She was a daydreamer with no vocational goals, although she expressed a desire to help the elderly and the poor. So who were these two children? The boy that was born from Michigan became one of the world's greatest inventors, Thomas A. Edison. And the awkward and sickly young girl became a champion of the oppressed. Eleanor Roosevelt. They chose to push forward. They chose to seek their goal. They didn't choose to stay beat down and just, they chose to push forward. So as I get ready to close, and we are going to get out a little bit early today. But as I get ready to close, I want you to think about some things. We talked about purpose. We talked about attitude. We talked about determination. And those three things combine to make the framework needed for happiness. But I want you to think about something else. We all came through those doors this morning, and we a lot of us has probably got a lot of burdens on us this morning. We're carrying a lot of weight. First and foremost, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, there's a lot of weight there. And today can be your day. But you know what? Those burdens that you're carrying, whatever it may be, if you're worried about family, if you're, the words are endless. We're going to do one last song here in just a little bit. And this altar is going to be open. And I think God is wanting to do business with people today. So as we get ready, as I get ready to close, we'll have the worship team come on, start getting ready. As I get ready to close, I just want to tell you that God is here today and He wants to do business with you today. He wants you to leave those burdens up here. And when you walk out, don't take them back out with you. Leave them laying on this altar. Leave them at the foot of the cross and let God take care of them. It's a new year. It's a new day. So now when I say Happy New Year, what I really mean is have that frame of mind that will keep you contented all the year long. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this message today, Lord. And Father, as we get ready to go into this final song today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that whatever the situation may be in anybody's life, Lord, I pray, Lord, that your will and way would be done in those situations, Father. Father, Lord, that they would leave those burdens right here on the altar, Lord. And Father, that they would walk out a free person. Father, most of all, I pray, Lord, that if they be one here that don't know your Son as their Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. Father, just meet with us today, Lord. Just God, lead and direct the rest of the service in Jesus' name.